I'm just grateful you guys don't live in the same city.
If there were more time during Nev's visit, the two of us should not be let loose unsupervised by an adult.
International Detective Dragons from Outer Space.
Welcome, or welcome back to International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. I'm Anum5, and thank you for downloading and listening to Skype Chat 1, the very first of what I hope will be many more casual conversations held over the internet through Skype, with members of the podcasting community and beyond. Just plain and unscripted talk with some folks that we know well and some folks that may be new to us. For this Skype Chat 1, I'm very happy to share a conversation with two fine people that I think you know well. We'll also have Frapper Map welcomes, news and shoutouts, and thank yous at the top of the show, and that will be coming up right after this.
Rinso for a wash that's...
Rinso what?
Rinso for a wash that's...
Rinso pipe.
Rinso helps wash day go like a song. Those soapy rich suds get out stubborn dirt fast. Leave white things snowy, Rinso white. Washable colors gay and fresh looking. Rinso bright. Safely, even after dozens of washings. And Rinso's anti-sneeze, too. It's made by an exclusive anti-sneeze process and is 98% free of sneezy soap dust. No other granulated soap can make this claim. So next wash day, remember...
Rinso white.
Rinso white. Happy little wash day song.
Hear that stirring music, folks? It was specially composed to give you a mental picture of an aeroplane carrying supplies to the besieged garrison at Fort Spon in 1902, 1 year before the invention of the aeroplane.
Oh. Yes. We of the besieged garrison were grateful for that mental picture of an aeroplane bringing us supplies.
Okay. Hello. Yes, it's true, and I'm very happy and excited about it because I've never done anything like this before. Actually talking for a good length of time in a conference call with people on the other side of the Atlantic, Sarah and Nev. Of Does My Geek Look Big In This? It was Saturday, June 2nd, and with the help of Sarah, I was able to get fully connected and speaking to both of them, and my hat is off in a sweeping bow of thanks for the time they spent and the terrific topics we fell into, mostly having to do with Second Life, the virtual world that they've both been very active in for some time. But before we dive right into that and listen to it, I'll just say here at the top of the show that episode 41 of International Detective Dragons from Outer Space is going to be a big one. I already have several substantial email responses regarding transhumanism and idiosyncrasies, and I thank all of you that have written in to make that topic buzz and flourish, as it's sure to do. There's no fears on that. It's going to be some show. And if you're listening in... Or if you're a new listener, or an old listener, and you haven't written in yet, why not drop in a note and say hello? Just try the topic of idiosyncrasies. No need to go into the heavy stuff right now, or right off the bat if you don't want to. Just a quick email to say hi, or join the forums, or join the Frapper Map. Make yourself known as a listener and be welcomed. And that's what I'm going to do right now, top of this show. Welcome to the forums, Time Wind. And they called him Time Wind. I still think that's a really cool handle. Thank you for joining. Welcome also to Jessica Fan, another new name on the forums. Jessica Fan, if you would please drop by the new members section of the forum and just post a quick hi. Reassure us that you're real and be welcome. And a new member of the IDDFOS Frapper Map. Welcome, please, everyone, Big Jack Brass. From Manchester, England. And Big Jack Brass had this to say when he placed his pin.
Merciful heavens! There's a giant pin through my house!
Well, that's pretty, that's original. I haven't heard that one yet. But, well, it's better to have a pin through your house than deal with a bulldozer like Arthur Dent. Why would I say that? Well, it's that magic number, you know. You may not know it, Big Jack Brass, but you placed your pin as Frapper member number 42. Congratulations. In celebration of this event, the Stratospheric Veranda will be serving pan-galactic gargle blasters for the next 72 hours. How can we afford it? Easy. We only need to serve one to each taker. If, after having a pan-galactic gargle blaster, you are a witness to any of the next 72 hours, good on you. So, welcome, Big Jack Brass, and thank you very much for joining us. Good thoughts, good wishes, and best hopes go out to our Australian listeners. I hope we have many down there, and I hope that the giant storm that hit you guys has gotten through with whatever damage it was going to do. I didn't hear a lot of good news, and I feel bad about it. I know, we've got Murray. Murray, if you're listening down there in Melbourne, I know you're on the eastern end of the southern coast. I don't know whether you guys got hit quite like Sydney did and the whole eastern coast of Australia there, but I was very sorry to hear about that storm, and I hope you're okay. I'm going to post a link to the Sydney Storm Chasers. That's www.sydneystormchasers.com. And if you guys visit that, find it in the Gurukatingatongatungs. Follow that link and scroll a little bit down. There's some video there of a storm front forming that's really unique. You don't often see this kind of thing, this kind of cloud formation over time, and just how big it is and how big storms can get down there. Well worth your time to look at. So a shout out there to Australia, and a shout out to Misfit Brew, the most recent episode. A big thanks to Mick Bradley for creating that venue to begin with and keeping it going. In the most recent episode, you will hear from a member of our Stratospheric Veranda, Mark Thayen Reed, and a member of the forums, and Mick Bradley. They will be discussing aspects of GM philosophies, game master stuff. I've also got an essay in there having to do with nostalgia. I try to be a little bit more careful with material that I put together for someone else, so it shouldn't be quite as rambling as you're used to hearing. Well, the kind of stuff you're listening to right now. And a thank you to Mick Bradley for including that in Misfit Brew. Give it a listen. All right. You're going to hear this in an email from James again in episode 41, but I'm going to make it known now because it's timely and it shouldn't wait that long. Broadsword, the PDF game that was sent to me, is actually available at RPG Now. Apparently, when I went to check for it, they had some delay in uploading it. So yes, Broadsword is actually available there at RPG Now. And congratulations to Deep Seven and the 1PG system. They had mentioned on the most recent Yogg-Sothoth radio episode. Very, very brief mention, but mention nonetheless. So congratulations, you guys. You're getting your name known out there. Probably well known already, but it's always good to hear. It's always good to hear references in other podcasts and across the board and on the other side of the world. All right, now, Nev and Sarah are very heavily involved in Second Life, and you may or may not know that things are heating up over there, particularly in terms of law and the news and, well, just difficult questions popping up in general. And I'm going to include a link in the Gurukatingatongatungs to a news article that was posted very recently by Kurt the Camera Guy. Everybody check out the Wandering Geek podcast. Follow that link from the IDDFOS homepage. But Kurt the Camera Guy posted an article in the forums that was very timely, particularly as regards to the fact that we're going to hear Skype 1 with Nev and Sarah having a lot to do with Second Life. And some of the topics in that article, you'll hear well, you'll hear first-hand account and a very from people that are following the whole situation very closely. All right, then. All right, the format for Skype chats is going to closely follow the format of standard IDDFOS episodes. There's going to be, as you heard, news and shout-outs and thank yous at the top of the show, because some things shouldn't wait. And there will also be little audio breaks scattered in and throughout the conversation as it flows from one topic to the next. It won't be an unbroken, continuous playback of our talk. But yes, it will be interspersed with little mini breaks, and we'll have closing music also. There will, however, be no old-time radio show offered this particular episode of Skype Chat 1. And again, those who have written in for episode 41, thank you. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a big one. And it's not too late to add to the topic if you care to and you haven't written in yet. All right. So without another minute's delay, let's get right to it. Skype Chat 1 with Sarah and Nev.
Hello?
And is it Sarah?
It is Sarah. This is weird. Hello.
Great galloping gallstones. I'm talking to you live and in person. Well, not in person.
It's too strange. You're responding to what I'm saying. You don't normally.
Immediately.
Normally I'm talking back, but yeah, you can't hear me.
On demand. This is very slick.
It's very good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Hang on a second. I'm just telling Nev that we're talking. We're playing Second Life, so I'm telling him via Second Life, which is weird.
All I'd need to be is logged into World of Warcraft and running around a city punching rats, and it would be cross universes.
I mean, we're just so good at multitasking these days, aren't we?
Well, I know I'm not.
Shall I try and dial Nev in?
If he's not busy, I mean, I just checked in to just checked in to see.
Yeah, so is your internet back in?
Yeah, I fixed it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I went through a series of complicated processes and got it fixed. The actual process was turning the modem and the router back on when I got home.
Oh, right, okay.
And it was back.
Oh, that's good. Carry on.
It did go out again less than 12 hours later, and then I went down to the basement and replaced the split-out switcher.
Yeah. And that seems to have done it.
Apparently so. However, if you suddenly don't hear my voice anymore, please don't think I've hung up.
Okay. Nev's being weird. Hang on a second. I'm talking to Nine Five.
Is it real late? It must be like 10 o'clock where you guys are.
It's not too bad. It's 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. 5 hours ahead.
Yeah, it's about 5. So it's not. It could be worse. It could be much worse. He's saying, yes, dial him in. He's finally understood what I'm talking about.
Oh, super. That's excellent.
Oh, hang on a sec. Nev saying, do you know we're playing Second Life? Yes, I've told him already.
Oh, I don't want to interrupt what you guys are doing. I'm just checking in playing with Skype. If you guys are in the middle of anything, please, this can take place at any time. Just saying hi.
Honestly, I've just built a tea house, and our characters are just sitting in the tea house going, nice tea house. We're not doing anything exciting. I'm playing with scripting in Second Life, and I'm all excited because I managed to get it so when you touch the windows, they go from being like a window to being blinds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very simple thing to do, but not for me, so I'm quite chuffed about that.
Well,
I'm not a scripter at all.
Well, you're leagues ahead of me. I can barely control camera angles when I'm in Second Life.
When was the last time you logged in?
It would have to be probably 2 months ago, I guess. I don't spend a lot of time in there. I just don't.
It's changing so quickly overnight. It's like every week there's something new. It's crazy at the moment. And people go away and come back and they're like, wow, what's going on?
Do you mean like changes to the interface or features that they add?
Both.
Oh.
They've recently added this thing called, well, it's in testing, but you can download a viewer that uses it, where they've got photorealistic skies. That's just come in. And you can design your own daytime with different lighting and different weather and stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Cool. But at the moment, it's not quite right. The sky looks great, but the ground looks a bit washed out. So, but as I said, it's only in beta, so can't complain too much.
Well, they've just got to iron out that lighting bugs, I guess.
Yeah. So how's things with you?
They're pretty much at a status quo. I'm just churning along.
Hmm.
I'm still in denial, but...
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah, I had a whole summer of it. And it ended up actually that I was working for a private company. They got bought out at the end of the summer. But it was sort of, are we going to get paid this month kind of thing. And that was really, really long. But I think after a while you start going slightly hysterical and you just start laughing.
Yeah, there's
it's so crazy.
It's a breaking point of stress pretty much.
Mm.
Well, I'll join you, I think.
Thank you. Most people just say, what are you doing? You smoking? I say, yes. And it's great, thank you.
I'm in denial about a lot of things.
Me too. I'm proud of it.
And I usually quote Twain whenever people give me a hard time. It says, always somebody that's going to come along and try to reform you, but don't let them.
Oh, don't. That's remarkably apt today. There's stuff going on in Second Life there. The guys who run the company are taking a lot of flack for things that happen in world that aren't particularly, shall we say, squeaky clean. It has a dark side.
Non-Disney stuff.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they've come out with actually it was yesterday, they came out with a blog post saying that the following things have always been and are obviously illegal and against terms of service. And there's a whole bunch of...
You're talking about the Lindens, right?
Yeah, the Lindens.
Okay.
And there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that is kind of obvious, you know, but it ends with, and anything else that anybody finds broadly offensive.
Excuse me?
Yes. and it includes violence. And we're like, well, hang on a second, does that mean you can't have a samurai sword fight? Or, you know, you can't wear bright pink shoes because they might be found offensive. And it's all a bit sort of, I don't know. It feels very much like the moral high ground people are taking over. That's a bit scary.
Yeah.
Hmm.
When you talk about an environment that you're in and that you're building in and working in and living in digitally, supposedly this was supposed to be the completely level playing field.
Yeah, and they're getting a bit screwed over at the moment. They had a German company go into Second Life and find some rather nasty child pornography photographs being handed around between the characters, because you can upload real life images. And this company made a documentary about Linden Labs, you see.
Oh, super.
Yeah, quite. So I'm going to add Nev, because he's finally got himself sorted, if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely, no problem.
We'll return to Skype Chat 1 after this short break. Back in a bit.
Coupon number 17, ration coupon 17. Are you planning to use your shoe ration coupon to buy white shoes? If so, give them the best of care. Keep them clean with Energene Shoe White. No shoe white can make your shoes look whiter than Energene Shoe White. It's made with the very whitest pigment known, and it spreads so easily, dries so evenly, it gives your shoes the neat, well-kept look they must have to give you the most satisfactory wear.
For the best of care for the white shoes you wear, remember Energene Shoe White. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I'll tell you what, Mon. You get in the seat and I'll swing the propeller.
Mad impulsive boy. But as you wish.
Contact!
Gad, you've invented the method for starting an airplane.
Contact!
What should we build now?
And now we come back to Skype Chat 1 with Sarah bringing Nev into the mix. Back we go.
Let me see if I can do this.
Hello.
Hello.
We're conferenced.
Yay!
Wow, we're conferenced.
Have you conferenced before?
I'm glad you knew how to do it.
I just dragged and dropped Nev from my contacts list into the little box, and it just added him in.
Oh, that's so slick.
It's very good.
Hiya, Nev.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm fine.
Excellent. It's good to speak to you again.
It's great hearing your voice, too. You both are in an alternate universe, I know, and I didn't want to, you know, interrupt anything that you were doing, but it's just so slick to be able to talk to you live like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who's typing in the background?
Sorry.
That lends it authenticity.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm a woman. I'm multitasking. I'm talking to somebody else as well.
I'm a guy. I'm waiting for the next thought to come along.
Yeah, oh. Absolutely. Oh, no, here it comes now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that was it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Hi, guys.
It's
this
so
is terrific. I'm just staring at my screen and looking at this conference thing because I don't dare try to do anything else aside from try and successfully sign into Skype just yet. But are you guys at the same location in Second Life right now?
Yeah, we are.
We are indeed.
Yes.
What are you looking at? Can you describe your surroundings?
Go on, Nev. You describe it because I made it.
It's kind of Japanese. And we're in a tea house. Let me see. And it has walls and a floor. I don't know what a tea house is look like. It's got wood.
And bamboo.
Oh, and bamboo as well on the blinds, which is nice. And a nice tatami mat that we've sat on with a nice tiled floor for the fire.
Although I can hear Ariel. I can hear our friend Ariel's just turned up. He's a griffin and he's just screeching at the front door.
Screech. He has his own special doorbell, I imagine, then, huh?
Yeah.
Or not.
Just don't tell him. Hey, Ariel, we're just on a Skype call, so we may be intermittent. Oh, okay, Marissa's given me clues about this script. Otherwise, use a really low negative channel for the broadcasts. Do you guys know what she's talking about?
You what?
Marissa's given me a hint about this script in the Windows, and she's saying, use a really low negative channel for the broadcasts.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with the dipolychromatic adhesive molecular structure of the object that you're making itself.
Oh, hang on, my brain's just run out of my ears.
Okay.
Hang on a sec. Next
door.
So, Anim, what are you doing at the moment?
At the moment, this afternoon was about signing into Skype and seeing if I can actually make it work, and obviously it seems to be behaving extremely well.
Oh, I see. So this is your first, well, this is your relatively new to all this Skype, then?
Completely. This is probably only about the third or fourth time I've signed in, and the first three were very brief. I tried listening to some of the live, you know, always-on shows that they call Skypecasts.
Oh, yeah, I've not listened to any of those.
No, I haven't.
And I didn't find anything particularly inspiring there, but...
Yeah.
What I'm actually trying to, the reason that my speech pattern is slowed down is more proof that guys can't multitask. I'm trying to sign into Second Life right now. I've got, if you could actually see me, you would laugh, because I've got my little handheld digital what's-its that I usually try and talk into over screaming trains and trucks and things stuck up inside the earpiece. On my right side, against my ear, it's like a giant electronic earring hanging from my right ear.
It's like Uhura.
Yeah. Actually, I think Uhura's is more comfortable and decorative.
Yeah, it's like an Uhura who's slightly less black.
Unable to connect to Second Life. The system may be down. Please try again in a few minutes. Poopy.
Oh, that's weird.
That's too bad.
I have heard that people have been having some issues.
Well, I have one of those free
Everybody
accounts.
Yeah.
Indeed. Did you guys get extra land or something to put up the tea house, or are you in a free build area type thing?
I rent some land off a friend. She had a massive nightclub place, but she got involved in other things and couldn't be bothered to sort of manage it. And basically said, you know, do what you like. So I kind of mucked about a bit and did stuff.
And it's helped you learn scripting too.
Yeah, well, I started off doing, like, you know, building stuff. And then after a while, it gets to the stage where you want to add doors that are lockable and lights that, you know, do things. And so it kind of forces you to learn scripting.
It sounds keen.
Yeah, it's really cool. And they've just introduced these Sculpties, which are these sculpted prims that Nev's trying to sort out. But they're not that great at the moment.
Yes.
I don't really understand why.
Yeah, sorry. I just installed some new... I got rid of McAfee, my antivirus firewall software, and I've just installed some new stuff, and every time I do anything on the computer, it decides that actually my computer's come under attack, and it tries to point it out for me and say, look, you're coming under attack.
It's trying to protect you from you.
It's trying to protect me, indeed. It keeps trying to shut things down. Oh, it's okay, I'll shut this down. It's like, no. That's the power. Don't turn that off.
that's me. Don't turn me off.
Is this the new stuff you're talking about, or what McAfee was doing?
No, it's just the new stuff.
Oh,
it's actually quite good. It's just a case of it's got to learn, you know, what is evil and what isn't evil. So.
And you have to teach it as you go.
Yeah. I'm actually using Komodo. Because it's all free, but it's Komodo Firewall and AVG antivirus software, and it's they're quite cool. They're quite cool. So
I never had luck with McAfee or Norton. They always they always
McAfee. It's I liked McAfee, but their method of trying to get you to renew was a bit sinister, in my opinion. They would lead you in, and once they got you, they'd take you around the houses and try and get you to buy using various trickery and
well, that's
moving
pretty
buttons
low.
Around. Yeah, they'd try and get you to buy stuff when you didn't really need to buy it, you know, and I've come off worse after, you know, the last time I used them. So I said I wouldn't renew my subscription, and I haven't, so... They are very good, but not going to get my business, that's for sure, not anymore.
No, not if they're going to do bait-and-switch stuff like that. Actually, it's not even bait-and-switch, it's just outright deception.
Exactly.
And we'll take another little break and return shortly.
Experience is the best teacher. Three running steps, a bound from the springboard high into the air, and straight down into the water for a perfect jackknife dive.
Once again, the crowd cheers blonde, beautiful Mildred O'Donnell, Metropolitan Diving Champion of New York. It takes experience to dive like that. As Miss O'Donnell said,
experience is the best teacher in diving. And that goes for smoking, too. I learned from experience that Camel is the cigarette for me.
Yes, experience is the best teacher. And the experience of smoking whatever cigarette brands they could get during the wartime shortage taught millions the differences in cigarette quality. Then as when folks T-zones, that's T for taste and T for throat, learned that Camel suited them best. The result?
Today, more people smoke Camels than ever before.
Get acquainted with Camel's rich, full flavor and cool mildness. See if Camels don't suit your T-zone to a T. Yes, experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel.
If you ask me, sir, we've invented the hairy plane. Hello?
I hear you've invented the airplane.
Who's this speaking?
The Air Ministry.
Air Ministry? How are you off for air? Air Ministry, how are you off for air?
Listen, little square pudding. The question is, how are you off for air?
I'm just full of it.
Let's rejoin the conversation. In this segment, we get some more chat about what's going on in Second Life. Some of it is pretty serious.
Have you managed to get in, Alan?
I'm trying right now, verifying protocol version. I'm actually looking at what appears to be a screenshot of House of the Harping Monkey and the Christmas tree still up. Apparently, it saved
that. Oh, my gosh,
that.
When did you learn?
That must be it. I think
at Christmas time, obviously.
Probably, unable to connect to Second Life. Oh, that's too bad. Maybe I should just go into World of Warcraft. That way I'll be in a universe, you'll be in a universe. And, let's see, between three individuals and two...
You play World of Warcraft quite a lot, don't you?
Not quite as much as I want to.
What's it like? Because it's kind of interesting, but I've never really got into it.
I think if you've, with the amount of time that you guys have spent in Second Life, you would probably find it, you'd find it visually stunning, very appealing, and lots of fun for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then once you come to the limitation of what you can actually do in there, which is basically what they allow you to do, and that's it.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, the impression I get from Second Life is it's very much like the world that I was involved with two or three years ago, Active Worlds.
I saw the cool models that you made.
Oh, I went nuts in there. I went absolutely nuts in there. And
how cool are they? I mean, they were. I was very impressed.
Well, thank you. They were fun to do. And they actually, you know what the high point was? When I belonged to this RPG world called Drayta, and I used to supplement the storylines that Mrs. NM5 was writing for them by creating new monsters when she wanted something to attack a town.
Yeah.
And the high point of my experience there was when one of the portcullises went up in one of the towns, and the brand new monster, I think it was Fast Eddie, the one-eyed, blinking, clawed, giant, dark thing, came in through the gate. And the player just typed in, "What the is that?" And I just, you know, it was a fist in the air moment.
Oh, dude, that is awesome.
It was very cool. And it seems to me that Second Life affords that kind of freedom.
Mm.
You know, you can make that, you can make this place, you can, you know, create the world that you want to create. World of Warcraft is visually stunning, and it's an excellent game, and it's interactive with other players, but you don't have nearly the kind of freedom you have in Second Life.
Yeah, as long as you're not offensive. Linden Labs.
I've already told him.
You've already told him.
Yeah, Sarah mentioned that they're catching heat for some of the, pervs that are running around.
All those evil perverts. Have sex. Those are the ones.
It started with some very sensible, like all these things do, some very sensible, you know, views on things that were going on that were bad. Mm-hmm. And it just seems to be snowballing, which
yeah.
is the way these things work, sadly. And lots of people get caught in it, up in it, when they shouldn't really be. Adam, what's your Second Life name? Do you mind saying?
Foolhardy Belford.
Belford, I remember.
I remember you.
It really is strange to hear about. Well, actually, I guess it's not so strange because Active Worlds ran into stuff like that too, particularly in RPG realms where you have to have a specific, way of behaving if you're in a role-playing game world that's been built by somebody else. You're not supposed to be bringing social issues and things, but Second Life is really like digital reality, and now they're being met with the same kind of flack. I mean, it's all a question of degree. You know, like it's who interprets what as moral, immoral, evil, good, whatever. I mean, I'll be honest. If I saw anybody with any kind of a site that was distributing child pornography or pedophilia or any of that stuff, I'd want it wiped immediately out of there, and the people that put it up tracked down and arrested. But that's one level of the extreme. You know, you take it down a little, two or three or 10 or 20 steps down from that, and it's somebody that's selling, you know, slightly revealing bikinis from a shop in Second Life. Now, do you call that immoral?
Yeah, you know, it's, I don't know. It's.
I mean, one of the problems they
Wait a minute. What am I saying? I'm a guy. Of course not. You should encourage him.
It's very tough. How do you apply moral interpretations to an end-user license agreement? How are you supposed to do that?
Exactly. Well, I guess they can't. And this is where they're getting in hot water, because the state that makes the laws that they're physically based in, of course, does have laws to govern that sort of thing. But they're a world, you know, their virtual world spans the real world. So should you apply those laws to the rest of the world, you know? Can you apply those laws? I don't know.
It's complicated.
What's also complicated is the safeguards that used to be built in. I mean, for a chat room or for websites, you can have filters that either block the site based on keywords, you know, in previous searches. But how do you apply any kind of a filter to a visual, to a model?
Yes.
You know.
That's very true.
You can't. Yeah. You can't create a kind of a parental block on a certain geometry that you come across in Second Life.
Mm. Well, they're trying, but they're putting the responsibility on the creators and the people who own the land to police their own content and to mark it as appropriate. So mark it adult if it's adult. And that's great. You know, that's a really good way of doing it. If you've got land that has got adult content on it, because the whole grid should be, everybody should be over 18. That's the point. And we shouldn't have any kids on this grid. There's a teen grid for children to play, and there's an adult grid for everybody else.
Oh, so the assumption is essentially if you've got, that doesn't work either, because there's free accounts, aren't there? I mean, the safeguard used to be if you've used a credit card, then you are either over 18 or you've gotten permission from a parent to be in. But if there are free accounts that can access some of these areas, then it's possible to get kids in, I suppose.
Yeah, that's another massive thing at the moment that they are trying to sort out, which is that it's obvious that there are kids on the main grid, on the adult grid. All you have to do is click the I am over 18 button when you create it and borrow your parents' credit card. And they're trying to bring in some kind of age verification process, but it involves a company. The company that they've been talking to about it does not have a good reputation for looking after people's personal information. They have the habit of selling it to people.
Oh, great.
So when Linden Lab suggested this age verification process, and essentially if you hadn't been verified, you wouldn't be allowed to access any land that were marked up as having mature content, everybody looked into this company that they were going to use, looked at the newspaper articles about them, and said, I don't think so.
Oh, man.
So they're having a big rethink. But, I mean, this is the kind of thing that's going on at the moment. It's really big, groundbreaking stuff, I think, for how these virtual worlds will work in the future.
Well, it's the law. I mean, it's the real-world law entering the digital world, the same as economics have been looked at recently because of the gold exchange, the platinum exchange, and the gold exchange with these real-world sellers.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's getting into that now.
Yep. Yeah.
I just got a file from...
I think the main...
Mev just sent me a...
Me.
JPEG, yes.
Yeah. I'm sending you... it's just coming through now. Whether it would, you would have... It says here it's 1% done, so it'll be finished in about 10 minutes, I guess.
Did you send it to me? Because...
I did start to, and then I stopped, so I realised I was sending it to you, and you're in there, so...
Oh, you're taking a picture of where we are.
I took a picture of the tea house, so I sent it to him.
Oh, that's cool. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's something I like about Skype, is you can send files.
Just a little break once more, and we'll resume the chat right after this.
When a man packs his pipe with Prince Albert, he's all set for real smoking contentment. It's Prince Albert that gives a pipe smoker the extra rich flavor and the cool mildness that mean lasting enjoyment. And it's Prince Albert that's crimp cut to pack just right in a pipe and to burn slowly and evenly. Pack your pipe with PA and enjoy the National Joy Smoke.
And now, here is a piece of music to give you a mental picture of the Air Ministry. Oh, folks, that music is supposed to give you a mental picture, which means the end of a horse-drawn Zeppelin.
Quiet, Moriarty. I'm just getting a mental picture of Seagoon opening that door.
Gentlemen, I'm in terrible trouble.
He's going to say.
Gentlemen, I'm in terrible trouble.
You were right.
My airplane won't take off in Lyle Street. Just as the plane starts to gain speed, the lights turn red.
Oh... Neddy, what you need is a new modern-type taking-off aerodrome.
Yes, tell the orchestra to give us a mental picture of a meeting of aerodrome inventors.
Here it comes.
And back we'll go now. In this segment, we'll learn a good deal about patio books and the virtues of podcasting your fiction. Sarah mentioned she liked the file-sharing features of Skype, and we pick it up as she talks about a friend she knows and communicates with in Skype while she's in Second Life.
Mm-hmm. And one day, he said, I'll be back in a minute, I'm just getting my hair cut. And 10 minutes later, he was back. And I said, well, that was quick. What does it look like to have done it in 10 minutes? And he sent me a picture immediately of his new haircut.
He got a 10-minute haircut?
Yeah, and that was going from his house to get his hair cut and back again. It was bizarre.
Well, he's got to either live nearby or he does it himself.
Probably does it himself.
I have a confession to make. I do it myself, too. I bought one of those buzzer thingies.
Yeah.
One of those little, one of those handheld... The kind that you see at boot camp where they take all their hair off.
Machine gun. Oh, no, sorry.
No. You can give yourself an excellent haircut, but only once. All right.
Well, you could certainly have a close shave.
Wah, wah, wah. Wah.
You could set it straight.
Man, it is so great to hear your guys' voices again. I got to tell you. It's just, you know.
It's good to hear yours.
Everybody's missed you.
We got a US version of Does My Geek to put up on the feed.
Oh, yeah.
Two of our listeners created a show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Raphael and Chihil created an episode of Does My Geek.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty cool, we're going to put it up.
It is very, very cool.
Is a one-shot deal, or they want to continue with it?
Well, I've sort of said, this is awesome, guys, you know, do it again. I don't know if they will. They sort of did it as a one-off protest, I think.
Oh, I gotta check that out. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Were they trying to imitate you guys, or just the same general format?
It was the same format, and they pinched the section intros, so they like cut them out and used them. They got them in the wrong order.
Oh, no.
They got drunk. It was quite funny.
they did a little too much testing, I guess.
Yeah.
Tasting, sorry.
I think it could be a new thing, getting other people to do the show. And hey, getting them to send them in and we could post them on the feed. It'd be quite cool.
That'd be great. That sounds like fun. I mean, you know, costs you though, but
yeah,
it would certainly be worth listening to.
The only problem is if somebody does like a really bad episode.
What are you going to tell them?
I keep meaning to ask and I keep forgetting. What's the deal on buying, hosting the Casimir over and getting it sent over here? Because the postage is going to be more, and I'm not sure.
Well, we screwed up on that as far as setting it up. We're still looking into what the deal is with PayPal not telling us when our orders are placed. And we're trying to figure out whether it's them not telling us or whether it's the orders being put directly into the spam folder of Chris's Hotmail. And it being accidentally deleted. But aside from that, we never actually set anything up for overseas orders.
Because it's a bit late now, but I was thinking I've got a friend's birthday coming up. And I was going to order one, and then I suddenly thought, no, this is crazy, because the amount it'll cost you to post it, it's, you know, not worth it, really.
We've got to get on the ball and actually make some kind of a change or just add an option for overseas orders. We didn't actually anticipate that kind of thing. We would have just been overjoyed to get, you know, orders in the United States. I'm trying to remember how long ago she first got published with it. It actually first came out as an audiobook from a company called Books in Motion, and the biggest customers were truck drivers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which was really kind of bizarre, but, you know, who was complaining? Yeah. A company bought her book and published it in audio.
What's the deal with that? Could you republish it as a podcast?
It's possible. I think now it's got to be more than 7 years now. I think we had to wait 7 years or something like that. But they own the rights to their reading of it. We could do a rereading of it. What I hesitate about it, as far as podcasting it goes, you know, just reading a new version of it, even with sound effects or music or any kind of production I want to do, is the fact that that is so reproducible. You know, once you get into a digital thing, it is so easily knocked out ad infinitum and could be, you know, distributed anywhere. I suppose I really should get over that because I don't know how successful Lonnie Azell is with his podcast version of Daughter of the Sun. Mm. But
have you heard about Sigler? What happened with Scott Sigler recently?
No, what's up with that?
It's very, very exciting. He basically, he's been podcasting novels, he's done about 4 podcasted novels, and then Ancestor was coming out in print, and he just went through a very tiny publisher, it's Dragon Moon Press, and he said to all of his listeners, first off, I want you to all buy a copy. And he, you know, he by that point he got sort of tens of thousands of listeners. Everybody buy a copy and buy it all on the same day and to help promote this, I'm going to give it away for free as a PDF the week before. So send the PDF to all your friends and get them and to buy a copy and get all my podcasty friends to play this promo. And he hit number one in sci-fi on Amazon for 4 days.
Oh, man.
And he got, I think he was number 3 or 4 overall. He's got a 3-book deal, and he sold one of his books to a major movie house. They're going to turn it into a movie. And that's, I mean, he does like sort of Stephen King kind of stuff, you know, horror stuff, which is amazing. If you ever get a chance to listen, it's cool. But he said, basically, this has vindicated the whole podcasting your novels thing. If people love it, they will buy it. So don't worry about giving content away for free.
Yeah.
You know, if people love it enough, they will buy it anyway.
I think it's time to rethink our strategy here.
Yeah. I seriously, it's Scott Sigler, It's all over his website. There's a couple of video interviews with him about the whole phenomenon and how it's happened.
Oh, man.
He's made a lot of people very angry. Lots of the big publishers are calling him a web scab and saying he's undermining them and things
like
that.
Oh, dear.
Isn't
that a shame?
He can take it. He's a bit of a nutter. And he's sort of saying, well, you didn't do it. Tough.
Hey, you know what?
I did, and, you know.
Yeah, tough noogies. I mean,
yeah, quite.
Chris has sent the, I mean, she went through the standard normal process of sending the manuscript out and seeing, you know, who would you know, take a bite at it. Some, the only places that were giving any kind of a real response, aside from the standard rejection letter, were the places that were the vanity presses that just want to, you know, scam you, that just want to make as much money as they can off of you having a vanity copy of your book that they could sell to your relatives, you know, and they charge, they overcharge like crazy, and they also want all the rights to it.
Yeah, they're just taking the mic.
Yeah, real publishers, if they buy anything at all, there's no guarantee that they're going to publish it anyway, even if they sent you a check. It was, we were looking at it, and it was just crazy. We finally found a place that would print it for us. At a reasonable rate, and that's how we went with it. But just hearing what you said kind of makes me look at it from a totally different perspective. I shouldn't be crouching down and guarding it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really worked for him, and there's a whole bunch of people doing. I mean, another person to talk to about the whole thing is Chris Miller, because he's one of the guys from Portio Books.
Mm-hmm.
With Evo Terra and somebody else, and they've been working with Scott very closely throughout this whole thing, and Portio Books really know about putting content out there to help their authors. I mean, Portio Books is all voluntary donations.
Mm-hmm.
So you put your stuff up there for free, but then listeners, if they like it, they can donate to it. So,
well, it certainly gets it known anyway.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're really... Portio Books got a nomination and made a profit last year for the first time. So they were very chuffed with that.
That is so very slick.
He's the guy with all the knowledge.
Yeah, up to now I haven't heard many... aside from podcasts that just have outrageous popularity selling advertising on their sites... I haven't heard of any other model where you can even remotely make any kind of money as doing it. Up to now, it's and up to this point, I had never considered it as anything more than a very enjoyable hobby.
Yeah.
But, you know, making use of the medium to get this book out the door would be great. There's two more waiting to be published.
I know. So, this is why I'm trying to help. It's completely selfish reasons.
Well, that's fine. The virtue of selfishness is something that I could go on at length about if I had half a brain right now. But since I'm not pre-writing any of this, I'm just going to say thank you for the help.
The other thing that Sigler's done is he's a wise marketer. He's got sponsors. So his show is sponsored by, he's with Podshow. And he's got a couple of sponsor people as well.
Very
plus
cool.
You can buy T-shirts that go with the novels and all that stuff.
Every little bit helps and gets the name out, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing he did, he did a sci-fi novel about American football in the future, and you can actually buy a real NFL quality football shirt with the team, the Kraken's team on it, in the right colors and everything, which is really cool. And he got people to take photographs when they were wearing it and send photographs to him that he puts on his website and all that kind of stuff.
Very slick. I heard the promo for that a couple of times.
And he also used Second Life. After each episode, because each episode was about a football game, he had a live interview with the main, with his character. He created an avatar in the shape of the character from the books and had a football conference, after-game conference in Second Life.
Oh, that's great.
And it was just awesome. It was really cool.
That's really super.
The American football team had, like, this spaceship with a real American football field in it. And it basically, they built the whole spaceship. It was really cool.
Oh,
and it's,
man.
Like, massive. And that was where they held the conferences. It was really good.
That's just too slick.
Yeah, the problem was that they were all in the middle of the night, our time, because they were 8 p.m. in the evening, USA time, so I couldn't actually go to them. And apparently they were so packed that people couldn't get in. So
exceeded capacity.
Yes, definitely. They blew the sim. Yeah.
Time for a tiny audio breather again, and we'll get back to Sarah and Nev in just a little bit.
This is Harlow Wilcox saying goodnight to all of you from all of us, and reminding you to turn your used fats and greases into red ration points. Your butcher will give you 2 red points plus 4 cents in cash for every pound of waste fat you bring him. So save every scrap of used kitchen fat and grease in a clean can, and when the can is full, take it to your butcher promptly for extra red points.
Flying Custard and Luba. Flying Custard.
They get paid for this, too.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, Mr. Gritpipe Tyne has called this mental picture of a meeting at the request of the beleaguered garrison at Artespan.
Yes, gentlemen. I have just returned from the very thin of the fray. Artespan will fall any day now.
But we've just added wallpaper.
That's no use, I tell you.
Double strength.
The defenders are weaponless. Some swine sold the men's rifles to the enemy for £10,000.
How much?
Just a minute, I'll count it again.
You mean...
Yes, £10,000.
You mean that those men have only got bullets to defend themselves?
Yes.
Gentlemen, build me a taking-off type aerodrome, and I will fly out rifles in my newly invented aeroplane.
Mr. Taking, I have got here the plans of my proposed portable aerodrome.
Ah, let's have a look. What did you call it, Mr. Croft?
Croydon Airport. Oh.
And where are you going to build it?
At Croydon.
I say, how splendid. That'll save changing the name.
Now then, is there any questions?
How are you going to build this aerodrome?
I was going to build it flat.
Doesn't mean aeroplanes can land on it.
Well, now that you've asked me a straightforward question, I have no option but to give you a direct answer. What was the question again?
Back now to Skype Chat 1, and in this segment, we'll get a little bit more into the nuts and bolts of Second Life and computer modeling.
Which isn't too hard, because you can only get 40 people in general on a sim, 40 to 60, before things start getting pretty hairy, so...
Yeah, that goes for avatars as well as objects, right? So, limit per cell?
It's an avatar limit, yeah. Objects aren't too bad. Scripts are a problem. And if you get a sim with lots of badly written scripts, then you can get real issues. Objects. There's a prim limit on an island, which you can't max out on. It just is a hard limit, so that's not too much to worry about, really.
I see. For folks that aren't familiar with the geometries of digital worlds, prim is short for primitive.
Yes.
And
primitive. Describes the people that inhabit. One thought at a time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, every object in Second Life is made up of a number of basic building blocks, like bricks, as it were, which are called prims.
Mm-hmm.
And the tea house we're sitting in is made of 23 prims, which I'm quite pleased with.
Yeah, keeping that number down, I understand, helps eliminate lag or gets rid of lag entirely if you can just download that simple an object.
Well, the main problem is that each plot of land has a limit to the number of primitives you can have on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the land we're on right now has a limit of 1,054. It's a quite big plot of land. But if you buy a piece of land and you want to build a house and fill it with furniture, low prim stuff is good because you can have more furniture. You could have one sofa, which is 100 prims, but you won't have anything else there, so...
But it'd be a gorgeous-looking sofa.
It would look great. Nev bought a katana, a sword, and it came in a sword case, which it came in a box, and essentially the box looked like a sword stand, a Japanese sword stand.
Mm-hmm.
And he popped it down on the ground, and I said, oh, better check how many prims that is, just, you know, be careful. It was 160, and it was just a box.
For an elongated cube.
Yeah. Well, it's lots and lots of little things stuck together.
Oh, that's too bad.
It was beautiful, beautiful thing, but you couldn't put it down anywhere.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh, wow. How about the katana? The katana itself, I hope, is...
Well, the katana itself is really high number of prims, but if you attach an object to your body, it doesn't go towards the count of prims on the land. So if you can be wearing thousands and thousands of prims, it slows your character down, but it doesn't actually affect the land.
Well, that's good anyway.
Yeah, so you can have really, really detailed jewelry and hair and things, but... Yeah, and you can get away with that.
I guess it's a question of getting past the interface, moving around in Second Life. I mean, I did not spend and haven't spent a lot of time in there, but I recall trying to put some kind of a costume on because, you know, they have that... You directed me and gave me the coordinates to that free shopping area where you could get all kinds of cool stuff, and I was... You know, like a kid in a candy store with all these crates and levels and like, ooh, I want one of those too. Oh, yeah, I better get one of those. And, scrolling down, drilling down through the folders and finding the item and trying my best to follow whatever the directions were. I never got real comfortable with the interface, but as soon as I tried to put something on, it turned into this big beige Buick attached to my right hand that would just move around with me. And I couldn't understand what the deal was. It just looked like a giant square block on my right hand, and I knew it wasn't supposed to look like that.
Yes.
It's difficult because I think the best way to have to... There's so many possibilities, it's really difficult. So people come in and they just go, well, I don't know where to start,
Yeah.
It's too much information and there's too many options of things I can do. And I think one of the best ways of doing it is having a mentor, having somebody, to show you around and do all this kind of stuff. So okay. I'm getting distracted. I've had a bizarre instant message on Second Life from a guy.
He
said, hello, can I ask you a question? Have you got that one too?
Yeah, it's on the... Yeah, it's... It's all talking about this latest...
No, not the stuff about the offensive note on the blog. This is somebody who's asking me about a friend who he hasn't seen in a while, and he's wondering if I know where she is.
I have no idea.
Well, I don't really want to say because, I mean, this guy could be anybody, and I don't want to say I do know where she is, but I think... Let me just say, I can let her know you're trying to get in touch. I think that's probably the best thing.
Well, that's like someone driving along and stopping and asking you for specific directions to someone's house that you know.
Yeah, quite exactly.
Oh, Anib.
Yes, sir.
You'd be interested in this because you've done modeling before. Not modeling as in, look at my nice underwear. As I struck down the catwalk.
You help me burn that image from my brain. Okay, go ahead.
But modeling in the 3D model kind of sense.
Indeed.
3D modeling. I used, a few years ago, a tool called Blender. And it was a free 3D modeling package. And I used it for a variety of things. But I've rediscovered it, and my gosh, it's amazing. I just wondered if you've ever heard of it.
I had heard...
And if not,
I'd heard the name.
Yes.
Yeah. I tried.
If you have any interest in it, you should have a look at it because it's cool.
Anything that that can let me go ahead and create something in a 3D space, I'll definitely give a try. The only two actually that I've worked with, and it's only been two, are True Space.
Yeah.
And that's probably since 1990, maybe 91 when they first came out.
Wow.
And the version 3 that I settled on, that I'd used for the longest amount of time, that's now out for free.
Yeah.
Then I worked with something called Wings 3D, which I didn't find quite as intuitive, but was apparently the free software of choice for people working in active worlds.
Yeah.
But I had heard, I haven't heard anything bad about Blender, and I heard the name bandied about quite often. So if there's a late version of it that does cool things, that's certainly something I can check out and play with.
I mean, it is so cool. They do an example for you, and the example video is of a person grasping a tree, a sapling, and that's live action. And what they do is they use a model to get the person's hand to morph into a sort of tree-like branch and grasp the sapling in a sort of and curl around the sapling, you know. And it's amazing.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
I mean, and the things you can do, I guess that's just working with live action, like real video stuff, real footage. But of course, they've got the whole modeling and animation packages. It's just awesome.
Animation as well?
Oh, absolutely. Animation and modeling.
I can always see Annan's ears prick up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just
hello.
Hello.
The only thing about it is that it's got a very odd interface, and I think the interface is based on something called KDE, which stands for Cool Desktop Environment or something.
Or Kinematic Digital Environment.
That's a total
guess, but the K I've seen in other programs. Actually, I lied. I tried Poser as well, as far as 3D modeling goes.
Yeah, sure.
That wasn't free.
Yeah.
That was far from free when I got it.
Yeah.
I think people use Poser in Second Life to animate, to make animations for their avatars.
Yeah.
I think it's Poser. My friend had a go and said it was very difficult.
The Wings 3D thing was the only thing I could actually use to make animated avatar walks and gestures and things like that for the monsters and the people that I created for active worlds. But Blender, sounding like Blender does that too.
It does. What? It is awesome. I could animate a satellite, put it that way, and make the solar panels come out, the bits move.
Now, why would you do that?
But if I can do that, you can make a little dude do his things that he does.
Absolutely.
It's so cool. It is so cool. And it's all free.
Well, now I've got a thank you for the new time sink. I'm going to be drying that soon. Oh, that's excellent.
Sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I answered this guy who contacted me. And it's actually quite interesting, and it's something that I've seen a lot. He was worried about her because he hadn't heard from her for a while, and he was worried that something bad had happened to her in real life.
Mm.
And it's something that I see an awful lot in the virtual world that I've never thought of before, is that when you're offline for a bit, people think the worst, but they can't, they've got no way of contacting you. And and it can be quite sort of, you know, worrying and sad for people, and you know, then they find out something bad did happen, or it's just your internet broke for a week.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting. He just wanted to know that she was okay, and when I said yes, she is okay, just busy, he said, "Oh, good. You know, as long as she's all right, and that's cool."
That is something that, I mean, particularly for people that want to remain as anonymous as possible. They're certainly not going to, and that's not a wise course to take anyway.
Yeah.
Particularly in very public places and very public chats. But when you haven't given anybody a way to get in touch with them, even through email or something, just an email address that you keep aside just for that purpose, you know, not giving out your main personal email address, then if they've made what they think is a friend in a virtual situation, then some people that's the best they can do is make friends that way, depending on the situation, then they're gonna have those concerns.
I mean, one of the things that I've done with my closest friends in Second Life is that there comes a point where they're going to be offline for a while, or you suddenly realize that you've got no way of contacting them apart from through Second Life, and you swap Hotmail email accounts or something.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily say, here's my telephone number, but I think there comes a point where you know somebody so well, you don't want to lose touch.
Yeah.
And, you know, Linden Labs could close Second Life tomorrow, and all you know about this person is that they live in Cheshire.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've done that with my close friends, just to make sure, you know.
Because there's going to, you know what, I often thought about some of these places shutting down. Like if I'm certainly not going to happen, but if World of Warcraft were to close its doors tomorrow, how many people that have made connections are going to be totally cut off? And exchanging something like that will allow you to take up the relationship again in another universe, because there's certainly going to be another one.
Yeah, it's true.
Here's a message from your government. Student nursing offers a career opportunity for young women that can't be taught. It includes a professional education, vital work with doctors and graduate nurses, preparations for a fascinating career in public service or private practice as a registered nurse. Today, nursing hours are shorter, working facilities greater, jobs more varied. Get information about student nursing at the hospital nearest you.
Right. Chisholm, contact the plane.
He's on the phone now, sir.
Right.
Well, sir.
Calling. Calling B4. Calling B4. Hello? Control calling B4.
Hello, Captain.
Is that you, B4?
Yeah.
Why didn't you answer me, B4?
Because I didn't hear you, B4.
Listen, warning, do not land at Croydon Airport because it's not there yet.
Righto then.
Now, what is your exact position?
I'm lying on my side with my knees drawn up under my chin.
Why?
I'm at home in bed.
And let's pick it up where we left off and hear more about what's going on in Second Life.
You were mentioning something about them introducing voice as a feature in Second Life. Did anything ever come of that?
It's still in testing.
I don't think it's going so well.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out on the 23rd of May, and it hasn't. There are some problems with it. It's in the beta environment, and they have a completely separate grid for beta testing.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going in there and testing it. And a lot of the feedback is that it's very difficult to use. The sound quality isn't very good. And that there are just a lot of issues. And the residents have really responded saying that they're not going to use it. An awful large proportion of the residents are saying we're really not interested. And I think sort of the priorities have changed recently. With all the other stuff that's been going on, I think it's fallen to a bit behind.
Well, I guess they're certainly not going to invest a lot of time and money into something that predominantly people don't want anyway, huh?
Well, I think a lot of people have said, I've heard, admittedly I only hear the views of the people from my friends and the people who post on their forum, which is a small part of the big community, but they're all saying that it breaks the, what's the word? Well, when you're watching a movie and you really get into the film, and then somebody's mobile phone rings. It breaks that feeling that you have when you watch a movie and you get immersed in it. Hmm. And voice seems to do that in Second Life. Strangely enough, people say that what happens is you end up with a room full of avatars all standing still and people having a phone conversation.
It turns into a party line.
Yeah, the avatars get forgotten and people don't really like it. And they said it's also hard not to talk about real life because you feel silly talking about your character's life. And so it tends to become more, you're not playing a character who's got a life. You're just talking about the fact that you've got to go and buy some food and you've got to go to work tomorrow and that kind of thing.
It degenerates into the mundane very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. But then on the other hand, fantastic for people who want to have conference calls in-world or are doing a presentation, some kind of training session. The whole learning and corporate side of it, I'm sure will love voice. I just think day-to-day socially, I'm not so sure it's going to take off.
Well, maybe they can offer that as a separate package for the corporate types that want that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be, you're going to be able to turn it off. And landowners can turn it off on their land if they want to, or turn it on. So it's optional, even when they do bring it in. And I'm sure they will. It's just a case of they haven't got it running smoothly yet.
Well, it sounds like it's going to take on more the aspect of an add-on than a basic feature of the game, then.
I think so, yeah. I think the basic features of the game are the building, the fact that you can build your own environment. I don't think there is any other game where you can as effectively manage the environment you're in.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main appeal, so far as I can see. I mean, there's the digital interactive environments, the 3D spaces that are out there that have their concrete set of parameters that you can work within, like World of Warcraft, like Guild Wars, like any of the other really game environments. But the real appeal that I can see with Second Life is the fact that you control what's around you and can create.
Yeah, and that's part of the fun. I mean, part of the fun is going and looking at other people's creations and you know, going and finding this fantastic garden center filled with gorgeous plants. But part of the fun is making your own stuff. Some people never build a single thing, and some people open stores and spend their whole day building.
You guys, I'm remembering, obviously going back to IDDFOS 16 and 17 when I first started talking about, I was trying to answer the question of Mr. T of MMOs ruining lives or saving lives. Mm-hmm. And you one of the questions that you asked, I think, was in an email. It was, is there a game out there that doesn't require you to pick up a weapon and just run around killing things constantly? And Second Life was one of the things that I mentioned. It's not necessarily...
Yeah, thanks. So I have you to blame.
That's really pretty much what I was asking, was that were you into Second Life already? And that, so...
No.
You're welcome.
I had heard of it, and it was actually... it was Jonathan Coulton, the guy who podcasts his music, was holding a concert in Second Life.
Uh-huh.
And
Oh, he's the guy that did the zombie song, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I wanted to sign up and go to that, and I never got around to it. And then there was some other event in Second Life that I wanted to go to, and I didn't get around to that either. And then when it was mentioned, yeah, on IDDFOS, it was like, oh, you know, let's give this thing a try, actually.
All right. I feel better that I am not the first time you ever heard of it, so I can't take full responsibility for...
Yeah.
All right.
I was kind of off topic. I was just going to say, I mean, now you're on Skype.
Yeah.
We can IM and talk.
We can Skype.
It's great.
Yeah, I got to just learn how to, you know, I got to go playing with all the different buttons, dials, gauges, wheels, and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What happens if I pull this lever, you know?
That's me.
I'm sure I'll get comfortable.
It doesn't touch anything except this.
I just... Once I get comfortable with it, obviously I'll be able to, maybe I'll even be able to set up my own conference calls and stuff like that. But
yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
you could get all the people on the stratus, what's the word? The veranda.
The stratospheric veranda.
That's it.
I don't know where I came up with that.
I like it.
I think there's a limit of 10 people.
Is there?
Yeah,
oh, on Skype, yeah.
Yeah, on Skype.
Not on the veranda.
Not on the veranda.
No, the veranda can take as many as we need, I guess. Unless everybody runs to the rail to see something, then the whole thing lists to starboard and we have to, you know...
No, half, not good.
Half of us have to run back so it, you know, doesn't tip over and spill us all over onto, you know, some strange peninsula.
That reminds me of the place I lived when I was at university.
Oh, God, it had that awful, awful balcony.
Yes.
Ugh,
that was slightly rickety.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, no.
Yes.
It overlooked the rugby ground, though, so I lived with some girls, and on a Sunday morning we'd go and watch the rugby guys practice, which was quite nice.
Okay. Hey,
the good old days.
What do you mean? You got me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, can I leave that in? Oh, no.
Comedy gold.
Well, what's the term? It's from Wonderful
Comedy
Life.
Comedy gold, mate. Comedy gold.
Youth is wasted on the young.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Pardon me.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not. The tombstone of Margaret Johnston and her six children in Trenet, Scotland, was erected over an empty grave. The family vanished in the 17th century without a trace. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the man who paid for his own assassination.
May I come along to your flight so that I can photograph the earth from a great height?
Whatever for?
Because, sir, there are some stupid fools who are still arguing whether the earth is round or flat.
And so?
I'm going to prove to them that it is flat.
Prove the earth is flat? What a waste of time.
Why?
Everybody knows it's flat.
Yes. But there are idiots in this world, you know.
Have you met them?
Met them? I listen to you every week.
When a man lends another man money, he certainly does not intend that it should be used to pay for his own assassination. But such was the case with William the Silent, father of Dutch independence, who advanced 12 crowns to a man by the name of Balthazar Gerard. Gerard had requested an audience with William, and the money was given to him to pay for his transportation. But the money was used by Gerard to buy a gun with which he shot William dead, believe it or not.
And now, back to Sarah and Nev in this last piece of a wonderful conversation with them. And here we go.
We should make a move, Nev. We are, sadly enough, going to a Second Life event tonight.
Oh, gosh, look at the time.
Our social life revolves around virtual worlds these days.
Yeah.
Well, pretty much so does ours. Mrs. Adam Five and I, like I said, if we permanently lost internet, we would have to move to a new house.
Yeah.
I think, we did lose our internet for a week, and we were going spare.
That was bad.
It was bad. We were going absolutely spare, so... by the way, did you know that there are cheap flights? The future holds cheap Atlantic continental flights. So, hopefully... within the next year or so, Sarah and I will be coming over to say hello.
Oh, that'd be too slick.
That is the plan. I mean, it would be awesome. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us know where the TikTok diner is now. So
yeah. How cool is that place?
At least a spot to congregate in front of or meet at.
How cool is that place?
And if the Mad 3 managed to make it, I think as we speak, it might be as we speak, or some within 12 hours of us talking now, Caroline and Jeff are getting hitched.
I think
it's this weekend, today or tomorrow or something like that. I don't know the details. I mean,
Cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's going to be...
So cool.
I hope they have a good day.
Yeah.
If the weather stays the way it is in this area, it's not brutally hot, but it's very, very sunny and pleasant, so...
That's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, that is perfect.
If it was today, then they had a great day for it. If it's tomorrow, hopefully they'll have a great day for it.
Many happy returns,
yeah.
Jeff, who works...
Okay. Here we go. Throw some editing curveballs in there. Go ahead.
I haven't really sworn yet.
No, we could swear visibly, but we won't, because...
I used to love it.
Because Jeff works...
We don't need to swear. Oh.
My favourite one, I used to listen to a show, and every time somebody swore, the guy who edited it used to write down the timestamp of when they swore. I can't remember which show it was.
That was Michael R. Meningay.
I was winging it. And so after a while, people would swear and then automatically call out the timestamp.
Just so they wouldn't miss it.
It's amusing. Fairy cakes, 2205.
Fairy cakes? Is fairy cakes a swear word?
Yes.
I'm rather partial to fairy cakes. Sorry, Sarah, go on.
No, you carry on about your fairy cakes.
I was just going to ask Anim if they have fairy cakes in America.
It is a term with which I am unfamiliar.
They're very small. Imagine, like, small sponge cakes. Very small. But it's just solid sponge. It's nothing else. And it's in a, like, little cupcake... type paper cup thing, and it's got icing on the top usually. It's quite small, it's about half the size of your hand.
They're very tasty.
They're quite nice. A variation is butterfly cakes, where you get the middle, cut it out, fill it with cream, and then put that cut bit out back on top, and like wings.
Didn't we make some of those once, and you put cream all over your face?
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes.
Nev's very strange.
Well, what else would you do?
Those strange things.
Isn't that part of the recipe?
And Nev likes getting a reaction when he does very, very strange things. But we have a friend who we've known since we were... I've known him since we were at primary school. And he reacts to Nev the same way I do, which is completely ignore him, no matter what he's doing.
Which is extremely frustrating.
So Nev puts, like, whipped cream over his entire face and turns around and is dancing in the kitchen, and me and Matthew are just talking, just completely blanking him.
You realise...
At one point, Nev's like, look at me.
I was trying really hard.
That's the thing, though. You see, the strategy of ignoring anyone that does something like that, me included, is to just make me try harder.
Yeah, you know,
I'm just grateful you guys don't live in the same city.
I do recall saying something like if there were more time during Nev's visit, the two of us should not be let loose unsupervised by an adult.
Yeah.
We could get into all kinds of trouble.
Absolutely.
Pardon me.
Anyway, we really must go. Yeah.
Alrighty.
What time is it over there?
Over here, it's only 4:15 in the afternoon.
Wow.
So it's 10:15 over with you, by
yes,
you guys.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta thank you both very much for connecting here, and thank you, Sarah, for conferencing it. I'll learn how to do that at some point.
Yeah, it's easy. Just drag and drop a contact straight into the little call box, and it just adds them in.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Well, you've got a cool little picture there, so.
Yeah, I haven't opened it up to check it, but I'm sure. Thank you very much for that too.
There you are.
Excellent.
Looking very regal, by the way. You look kind of like a King Charles type, I think, in that picture.
I'm sorry, in the tea house picture?
No.
No,
you're looking at the Skype chat picture.
I'm looking at the Skype chat picture.
Oh, all right.
I don't have a picture.
Oh, that's sad. But
I see. Hal.
Another note.
Hal is in Hal 9000. That's what your avatar
that's
is.
The one.
All righty.
But in that picture of yours, I have to say, you do look like a King Charles type.
I have to find the original painting and send it to you, because it's one of those Oh, hell, I'll send you the original painting and you can see the photoshopping that I did to stick my face in there and whatever, but I don't want to keep you guys.
The original painting?
The original painting is something... you'd have to see it. So I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you both, so you'll get the context.
Cool.
And we should do this again sometime, definitely.
Definitely. Well, whenever I'm online, then just instant message me and say hi if you're online too. And
that'd be terrific.
We'll stay in touch. It's very cool.
I won't always have my exotic earring on, but and I'll let you know if I do. And,
okay, Jamie, take care.
You too. Have loads of fun tonight, and thanks again.
Say hello to Chris and the doggies from me.
I will indeed. All right, take it easy, guys.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, folks, I don't know what to say except that I'm extremely happy, and I feel very lucky to have connected with those two fine folks over in Reading, England. Sarah and Nev of Does My Geek Look Big In This, tooling along and exploring a virtual world and taking time out to talk with me. That was just fantastic. I've just got to thank them both again. And I hope you enjoyed listening to it. There'll be more Skype chats. I'm not going to name names because, again, as I said, I don't like to make promises for other people's time. They're going to be put out as podcasts pretty much as soon as they're recorded and in the can. We'll find out from who and when as they happen. But we've reached the end of Skype Chat 1, and it's time for a little bit of closing music, and on the opposite sides, I'll just say my goodbyes. Please enjoy this recording of Skinny Ennis singing My Number One Dream Came True.
While you light up a camel, Skinny Anna sings, My Number One Dream Came True.
A million times a day, I pinch myself and say, My number one dream came true. And if I rub my eyes, it's only in surprise, My number one dream came true. I had my number two and three and four dreams, with lots of possibilities in each. I might have planned on dreaming even more dreams, 'cause number one was way beyond reach. I can't believe it yet, but if my fate was set, it did what I wanted to. Don't ask me when or why or how, but if I'm here with you, my number one dream came true. I had my number two and three and four dreams, with lots of possibilities in each. I might have planned on dreaming even more dreams, 'cause number one was way beyond reach. I can't believe it yet, but if my fate was set, it did what I'd wanted to. Don't ask me when or why or how, but if I'm here with you, my number one dream came true.
Just a tiny bit of fun stuff from long ago to close out the show, and once again, my thanks to Sarah and Nev. My thanks to Big Jack Brass for joining the Frapper Map, Time Wind for joining the forums, Jessica Fan for joining the forums, everyone that wrote in with emails about transhumanism that will be covered in episode 41, and I thank you very much for listening to my very first foray into internet interview type things. Thanks. I hope you'll come back and listen to episode 41. That is the episode in which I will be explaining why the podcast is called International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. But until then, I hope everything goes very well for you. And until then, best of days.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of...
International Detective Dragons from Outer Space.